Exodus chapter 5. And Exodus is, of course, a wonderful story of how God uses Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Exodus chapter 5 is a kind of a turning point in Moses' life as far as his obedience to Christ. Now, the burning bush has already occurred. He's already killed an Egyptian and been on the backside for 40 years. Really has not wasted his life, but certainly has not been in the place where God would necessarily have him. And God's purpose for Moses was to go and lead out the children of Israel. And we see here in Exodus chapter 5, Moses is just so typical of us in our Christian lives. Here he is. God has given him a purpose. God has given him a direction. He's given him a clear command. God has already told him, listen, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to make this happen. And what does Moses do? He makes excuses. And so many times, you know, we've been assured a victory. I mean, think about it. We know how the story's going to end. Now, we don't know necessarily all the steps to that end, but we know that the story's going to end. We know that we're on the winning side. Amen? But understand that sometimes, in spite of that, we still have doubt. And we still experience, I'm going to preach on discouragement tonight. I'll preach on discouragement. Because, you know, sometimes it doesn't matter if you've been saved for years, for decades, or just been saved for a few moments. We are all going to experience discouragement in our lives. And you think, man, God is really doing something in my life. You know, and I want God to do something. I want God to do something in my life. The brother was talking about seeing fruit. You know, Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, not that I desire a gift, but that fruit may abound to your account. You know, that's what missions is all about. Missions is not so that, you know, you support me and I get this, you know, big IRA or this big retirement fund and be able to live as independently wealthy. No, it's so that I can have money so that the ministry can go forth, so that the gospel can go forth. That I desire fruit may abound to your account. That should be the heart of everybody, is that fruit might abound. But we see that Moses is in a position, and now God has already told him, hey, listen, I want you to go to the children of Israel, and I want you to lead them out of Israel. Look with me in verse 20. The Bible says, and they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they came forth from Pharaoh. And they said unto them, the Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. Watch verse 22. And Moses returned unto the Lord, almost like he is in this dialogue with the Lord and in this prayer. And he says, and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? And then this question, this is the title of the sermon. This is what we're going to focus on. Why is it that thou hast sent me? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, now, as we come to your word, pray that you would open our hearts, our minds, and our ears. Lord, help us to be changed for what we hear tonight. Lord, I don't know. There might be someone in this room tonight that's discouraged. There might be someone that is posing the same question. Lord, why is it that you have sent me? What are you doing in my life? Lord, I pray that we would learn to trust you. I pray, God, that we would learn and look at what you are doing in Moses' life and to take encouragement from that. Speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray if there's someone in this room that does not know you as their personal Savior, I pray that tonight would be the night. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, sometimes it's easy to feel sorry for yourself. Look at Moses. I mean, here he is. He's gone back to Egypt, and he's told the children of Israel, listen, I'm going to lead you out of Egypt. I'm going to help deliver you. I'm God's man. God has chosen me to bring you out of Egypt. And, of course, the children of Israel are all excited. Well, guess what happens? Pharaoh sees us, and guess what he says? All right, no more straw for you. You're going to have to go and get your own. And he doubles the work. He triples the work. He adds all this more work. And he says in verse 13, fulfill your works, your daily tasks, as when there was straw. Pharaoh is so adamant that the people do the same amount of work with less amount of resources. And thinking about Moses. Moses knows, well, he knows what God has called him to do. But Moses doesn't know how it's going to happen. Now, listen, you and I have 20/20 on this. We know what's going to happen. Oh, of course, there's going to be 10 plagues. And, of course, the Passover is going to happen. And the firstborn of all the land is going to die. And the Egyptians are going to send you out. In fact, they're going to send you out with gold. They're going to send you away. They're going to hasten you on your journey to get you out of Egypt. And we know that, yeah, they're going to change their mind and they're going to start chasing you. But we know that, hey, the Red Sea is going to open. You're going to cross through on dry ground. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And the Pharaoh is going to come in with his army and going to be completely decimated. We know that. We know that's going to happen because we can see that in God's word. But think about Moses. He doesn't know that. Moses doesn't know how God is going to get him from a bondage, from a place filled with just rancor, from a place of hard labor, a place of complaining. And we understand that later on the Israelites would look back and say, man, we wish that we had the melons and the leeks. But that was, I mean, they were in bondage when they had that. We know how God was going to do it. We know the circumstances that God was going to use to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And we have 20/20 on that. And so it's easy for us to say, well, Moses, what do you mean? Why is it that thou hast sent me? Why would you ask that to God? Of course, God is going to deliver you and the children of Israel from Egypt. But friend, you might be in a position tonight. God has saved you. God has called you. God, listen, so many Christians are waiting for a call of God. You know, so many people say, well, I don't know if I'm called. Hey, we've all been called. We've all been given a command to go and preach the gospel to every creature. And yet we sit idly waiting for some sign in the sky when God has already given us a command. And there's millions, there's billions of people tonight all across the world that have never one time heard the name Jesus, that have never one time heard a clear presentation of the gospel. That is our call, Christian, and we are all to be involved in that. That's just not for pastor. That's just not for the deacons. That's not just for the staff members. That is for every single person, boy, girl, teenager, man, adult, elderly person. We are all to be involved in the Great Commission, all involved in getting the gospel to every creature. And as we go, as we live this Christian life, as we fulfill the purpose that God has for us in walking with Him and in giving the gospel out, sometimes things are going to come in our lives, and we start feeling sorry for ourselves. We start feeling discouraged. We get into a place where we might even ask God, why is it that thou hast sent me? God, why is it? What are you doing in my life? God, why have you put me in this position? I think of a dear pastor, a friend in Quincy, Illinois, Pastor Jason Munkowski. Here's a man that's serving God. He was my wife's youth pastor. And his wife, Kelly, serving God, started a brand new church just about 5 or 6 years ago. Got a brand new building, exciting times, and cancer. And I'm talking aggressive cancer. 2.5 years later, just early February, she passed away. 40 years old, 5 kids. God, what are you doing? God, why would you do this? Why would you put me in this position? God, you've called me. God, you've sent me. Why would you put me in this position? And we find Moses here. Why is it that thou hast sent me? Verse 23, for since I came, God, ever since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. God, you haven't done what you said you'd do. And since I came to do what you told me to do, Pharaoh has been giving our people problems. They're in bondage. They're complaining, God, why hast thou sent me? But we're going to look tonight at God's answer. Because the answer to our discouragement, the answer to your questions, God, listen, Jesus Christ asked why on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Sometimes God brings things into our lives we don't understand. I recognize I'm young, and I recognize I have a lot of life ahead of me, Lord willing. And no doubt there will be times and there will be things that God will bring into my life. But it's also that He can get the honor and He can get the glory so that He might refine us. So that we might be, what did Job say? That I might come forth as gold. God has something so much better for us that sometimes only trials, sometimes only afflictions can reveal. We see in his answer, we see that Christ gives us three things that enable us to continue, that will push us through when we're feeling discouraged. It's not just, you know, it's not just a mental thing. It's just not power of positive thinking. Hey, the real comfort is from the Holy Spirit. He is called the Comforter. And in our times of trouble, in our times of discouragement, in our times of, God, why have you put me in a place I feel like there's no fruit in my life? Have you ever been in that place? God, why? I feel like you're not answering my prayers. God, I feel like you're just silent. God, why have you put me in this place? If you read through the Gospels, you'll see that Jesus went and he would pray in a solitary place. That word solitary means set apart, but it also means desolate. It's a place where only God could work. The feeding of the 5,000 happened in a desolate place. Here's the great congregation. They've been watching Jesus Christ work all day. They've been seeing his miracles. They've been awed as he's healed the sick and as he's raised the dead, as he's caused the blind to see. And now it's time for dinner. And they're hungry. Hey, when I'm hungry, I'm ready to eat. Amen. But there wasn't a McDonald's around the corner. There wasn't a Monocle's Pizza, amen, around the corner. They had nothing. They were in a place, in a desert place. And in that place, the only person that could do something was Jesus Christ. But the key was that they had to give the 5 loaves and 2 fishes to Jesus first. Sometimes God's going to put us in a position where only he can work. And all he wants from us is all that we have. And we see here in his answer, first of all, we see that even in his doubt, God's purpose had not changed. God's purpose had not changed. Friend, God's purpose has not changed. Maybe you've recently lost a loved one. Maybe you've gone through a financial heartache. Maybe you are in a position spiritually where you just feel like, you know, God, I feel like I'm not seeing prayers answered. And I've been going soul winning, and I've been giving the gospel, but I'm just not seeing fruit. God, why have you sent me? I feel like this is pointless. Friend, God, his purpose has not changed. The Bible still says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. That is his purpose for us. In speaking of the context of missions, the purpose is that we might get the gospel out. I love what Pastor was saying about getting the gospel to every single door, to every single person in this area. What a challenge. What a challenge. You realize, and I was this morning, as I was driving in, I was staying in Sullivan, and I was over in Bloomfield with Pastor Daryl this morning. And as I was going, I passed 4 independent Baptist churches. Praise God for that. Let me tell you, Chicago, there are not. You don't pass 4 independent Baptist churches hardly, I mean, within an hour. What I'm saying is be thankful that there's a gospel witness in this area. But also understand, we got to saturate it. Sao Paulo, a city of 12 million, just in the city proper. Pastor said it before a service to me. He said you could send 1,000 missionaries there. You wouldn't touch the hem of the garment. We need some young people. We need some adults even. Yes, we need young people to surrender, but even some adults will say, God, I'm going to give you my all. God, you know what? I'm going to lay down my ambition. I'm going to lay down my desires. I'm going to lay down my dreams. And God, I want you more than anything else. God, I want your will. I want your life. God, I want to be more like you. God, I want to see fruit. And sometimes God might put us in a place where that's just not happening, where they're not falling left and right. What must I do to be saved? And sometimes God is going to put us in a place of trials and tribulations. I think of my own pastor, lost his wife about 10 years ago. And lost his son just a few years ago after that. What a trial and what a thing to go through. And yet God has a purpose that he might get the honor and he might get the glory. His purpose has not changed. Are you feeling discouraged? Well, God, you know, why? I've gone out so long. I've been on that bus route week after week, and those kids are rowdy, and they don't listen to me. And, you know, I give them the gospel, and the parents don't care. The parents are strung out on drugs or on booze or addicted to whatever, and it just seems like it doesn't matter. God's purpose has not changed. You never know the difference that you can make in the life of a young person just by going, just by being faithful. God's purpose has not changed. We see in chapter 6, in verse 1, he says, then said the Lord unto Moses, now shalt thou see, watch it, what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. Notice what God said. Moses said, hey, listen, what, you know, in verse 22, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. And you know what God says? God refocuses Moses. Moses gets so distracted on what is happening to me. He's so down in the dumps about the rejection that he's feeling, about the fact that God is not working in, oh, here it is, in his timetable. And you know what, Christians? So many times, God, many times, in fact, almost every time, God will not work on our timetable. I mean, I think about deputation. I'm praying for 2 years that we'll be done, but it might take longer. But I can tell you this, man, I got to be on the road for 2 years and drag my family. But listen, God's purpose has not changed. God's call on my life has not changed. And no matter how many churches I'm in that are unfriendly, and praise God, we've not been in hardly any that have been unfriendly. I praise God for that. But hey, listen, some days it's easier, some days it's not. And I'm sure as your pastor could attest, after years of ministry, there's going to be days that he's felt like charging hell with a squirt gun. And then there's going to be days where a fire truck could be out back and it wouldn't make a difference. Why? Because we go through life. And there are hills and there are valleys in life. There are victories and there are defeats. But understand that even in the times when God puts us through testing, even in the times that God puts us through trials, God's purpose has not changed. And he says, now shalt thou see what I will do. You know, so many times we try to get God on our table, on our timetable, and we try to do things in our own strength and our own power. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Sometimes God's going to put some things in our lives just for his good pleasure. All things work together for good. Oh, we believe that verse, but that's all things. That's the victories. That's the sweet times of fellowship. That's the times when we are able to see some people saved and see some fruit. And that's the time where it seems like when we pray, God is almost not even listening. Or it seems like the heartaches come so frequently, like waves just rolling over us. And yet God is still working in us. His purpose has not changed. And it is God that is going to do it. Understand that if God called you, he will enable you. If God calls you, he will enable you. Now, I understand not everyone has been called to full-time Christian ministry. I understand that. But again, we have all been given a command. We've all been called that we might be more holy. We've been called that we might share the gospel with the world. What are we doing? Are we doing our part to fulfill that calling in our lives? God's purpose for you, Christian, has not changed. It has not changed. We see, first of all, that his purpose has not changed. Number two, we see that his person has not changed. Look in verse number two. And God said unto Moses, and God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. God reminds Moses that, listen, you're not the first person that I've come behind and helped. You're not the first person that I've given this promise to. This is a promise that has been generational. This was a promise that I made to Abraham when he stepped out by faith. The Bible says that he believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. When he left the land and forsook his family, God said, guess what, Abraham? I'm going to give to you, and your seed will be as the sand of the sea and as the stars of the heaven. What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful promise that was. And he reminds Moses, listen, I am the same God. The same God that sustained Abraham, the same God that sustained Isaac, the same God that sustained Israel or Jacob, I am that God. What a wonderful promise. We have the same God today. Jesus said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have a God that is omnipotent. We have a God that can do anything. You know, he says in the book of Luke, for with God nothing shall be impossible. We believe that, but do we live that? Do we pray that? Sometimes I think we don't see God do the impossible because we don't believe that God can. We don't see God do the impossible because we haven't prayed that God would do the impossible. What is the impossible thing that God could do for me?
seeing souls saved, seeing a nation reached. Oh, God, use me. God, use me. Our heart to say, to see the impossible. It feels impossible. 207 million people in Brazil, 12 million people in a city. It feels impossible. Hey, we serve a big God. We serve a God of the impossible. And it feels like we live in an America, in a country where it seems like all around us darkness is pervading. And it seems like even today in churches, Christians are just not on fire as they once were. God, do the impossible. Raise up another generation that says, God, I want to be used of you. God, I want to see you do the impossible through me. And so many times, too many times, we've surrendered the impossible for what we just think is possible. What could God do through you? How many people could God reach through me if we were just completely yielded and completely surrendered? We see here, he reminds him that he's the God of Abraham. Abraham speaks of faith. Faith. How is our faith tonight? How is our faith? I know you've probably heard preaching on faith, but faith, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Do you believe that God is? Again, we say, oh, I believe in God. But do you believe that God is? Do you believe that God is alive? Do you believe that God is working in you? Do you believe that God can do something? That God can use you? Teenager, do you believe that God can use you as a teenager? Do you believe that God could do something in your church? That God could do something in this state, in this county, if you were just to get surrendered to God and yielded to God and say, God, I want you to use me. God, I want my heart to be on fire for you. We see that he reminds him he's the God of Abraham. That's faith. We see Isaac, obedience. Think of Isaac. Here he is on the mountain. He doesn't know who and where the sacrifice is coming from, but he's obedient to Abraham, his father. And think of him as he lays there on the altar, knowing that in just a short moment, his life will be cut short. Obedience. He was obedient. He was obedient. And then we see Jacob. Oh, and this is a tough one. This is a tough one, humility. Humility. Here's Jacob, he's proud, deceiver. I mean, he'd spent his whole life deceiving. He'd spent his whole life, conniving and getting his way. And yet there had to come a point, there had to come a time when it was Esau was chasing him, and there met a man, and he wrestled with him all the night, touched the hollow of his thigh. He broke him. It broke him. For the rest of his life, he would walk with a cripple, reminding him that he was nothing, reminding him that God was great, reminding him that his name was changed from Jacob to Israel. God wants to remind Moses here. He says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Jacob, that's the God we serve. That's the God we serve. That's the God we pray to. Do we believe it? Do we pray like it? Do we go and witness with the fire that, hey, we have a God, a living God that wants to use us? Moses here is feeling discouraged. God, why is it that thou hast sent me? And God says, listen, now you're about to see what I will do. Oh, man, let's get ready for what God's about to do. Are you ready for what God's about to do? If your heart is surrendered, if you have a heart that's believing and says, I'm going to step out by faith, I'm going to go by faith, and I want to see God do something through me, are you ready to see what God can do with your life? Take your hands off. Let God yield, surrender. Let God use you for his honor and for his glory. I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. What a wonderful thing that God lets Moses know in his hour of doubt, in his hour of frustration, in an hour of distress. He says, listen, my purpose has not changed. My person has not changed. And lastly, he reminds him that his promise has not changed. His promise had not changed. Remember, this is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God had already, hundreds of years before, promised to him that he would bring them back to the promised land. This was a place of victory. This was a place where they could go, a land of milk and honey, a place where God would fight their battles, a place of success after success, as long as they were surrendered to God's will, as long as they were yielded to him. And he reminds Moses in verse 12 of chapter 3. He reminds him there. He says, and he said, certainly I will be with thee,
And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. His promise had not changed. Christian, God's promises to you have not changed. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Oh, what a wonderful promise. What a wonderful thing. The fact that we have the Comforter. Oh, the book of John chapter 17 talks about, and 16 talks about the Comforter. What a wonderful gift that we've been given of God, the Comforter. We have that. The Bible says that we are sealed. We are kept until the day of redemption. What a wonderful thing. He talks about the earnest of our salvation. Your earnest is just a small payment that says, hey, I'm serious about this. Hey, I'm coming back for it. And Jesus made a promise to us by giving us the Spirit of God that says, hey, I'm coming back for you. Someday, this life will be over. Everything that you've labored for, everything that you've been working for, it's going to be over. And someday you will be with me. But in the meantime, there's going to be trials. There's going to be tribulations. There's going to be times of discouragement. There's going to be times where you pray and it feels like, God, why is it that thou hast sent me? Everything I do, I feel like I'm going up against a brick wall. Every time I go out sowing, I feel like there's nobody home and nobody interested. There's not that sweet spirit. And that comes from being yielded to God, spending time in His Word. And we see Moses here is reminded that, hey, God's promise had not changed. His presence would be the distinguishing feature of Israel's journey to the promised land. When you think of the Israelites traveling for 40 years, think about that. For every day, every night, there was a pillar of clouds and there was a pillar of fire. God took care of them. God provided for them in miraculous ways. Ways that we, you and I, really, I mean, would be awesome to see God work. And if you read in the book of Psalms, God is working. I believe it's Psalms 116 or 117. And they said, can God furnish a table? They began to question if God could. They began to be in that position of doubting. They began to be in that position of discouragement. Hey, this is taking longer than that we had thought. Now, granted, understand they had sinned against God and so they weren't allowed in the promised land. But God still was bringing them to their place. God's purposes had not changed. His person had not changed. His promise had not changed. The thing that had changed was their heart. The thing that had changed was their obedience. The thing that had changed was their faith. To take a step and say, God, I'm going to obey you. God, I don't know what you're going to do in my life. God, I don't know the people that you're going to use. God, I don't know the situations that you're going to bring in my life. But God, I'm going to trust you. Because I know when I can't understand the why, when I can't understand the how, when I can't understand the where, when I can't see the way, I will trust who it is from. From a father, from a loving father. From a father that cares so much about us. From a father who every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, the Father of lights. What a wonderful thing. We have a Father that cares so infinitely for us that even in our time of discouragement, even in our time of distress, even in a time when we feel like there's no way out, we have a Father whose purpose has not changed. Christian, God's purpose for you has not changed. Souls still need to be won. The gospel still needs to go forth. Buses still need to be run. People still need to reach. People are still dying and going to hell today. And it is our job, it is our duty to reach the world with the gospel. How do we do that? Well, obviously we can't be everywhere at once. So we reach our Jerusalem. We reach our Judea, we reach our Samaria, and we reach our uttermost parts of the world by sending out missionaries. And the missionaries, our desire, all of our desires that we might see fruit to our account, see fruit to your account. For God's honor and for God's glory. Philippians chapter 2, it was in the opening of the video. It's kind of been my ministry life first. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Someday we will stand before Christ. And this is not, friend, this is not to determine salvation. This is not, as the Catholics would have us believe, our good works and our bad works on one side, and hopefully our good outweighs our bad. No, that is settled in this life.
If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, tonight is the night that you need to make that decision. Christ died for you. Christ loved you so much. He rose again to prove that he has power over sin, hell, and the grave. But understand that we will stand before God, and all that we have done in our life will be put before him. The Bible says that the fire shall reveal what sort it is. Either wood, hay, or stubble. That's things that don't matter. It's going to burn up. Or gold, silver, and precious stones. Those are the things that will last for eternity. Those are the things that make an eternal impact. And Christian, understand that we have this one life to make an impact for eternity. There's somebody you can reach for eternity. In spite of your depression, in spite of your misgivings or inhibitions about what God can do, God wants to use you. God wants to use. God doesn't have to use us, but God wants to use us. His purpose has not changed. His person has not changed. He is still faithful. He is still true. He is still the God of the impossible. Are we seeking God to do the impossible? Are we asking God to do the impossible? Are we looking for God to do something so great and so awesome through us that only God could get the glory? So many times we want our fingerprints to be all over what God does. We're so concerned about getting the credit. We're so concerned that, I want to make sure that I want a part of that fruit. But listen, it's for his honor. It's for his glory. We need to yield our lives, yield our hearts, and understand that God's promise has not changed. His promise has not changed. His promise of being with us. His promise of that comforter. His promise of someday the wonderful home of heaven has not changed. Christian, if you're feeling discouraged, if you're feeling like maybe just God is not working on your timetable, be patient. God is working. Moses was on the backside for 40 years. God had to teach him some lessons. Sometimes God has to put us in a position, in a place, in the stillness, in the quietness, no flash, no bang, just me and God. Where God can teach me, can mold me, so that I might bring him honor and him glory. Why is it that thou hast sent me? So that we might bring honor and glory to Christ. We need to keep going. Keep reaching people with the gospel. If you're in that place of discouragement, understand that God has not changed. And God wants to use every one of us for his honor and for his glory. Let's pray. Father, challenge our hearts. Lord, we want to be used of you. We want to see you do a work through us. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be trials. There's going to be discouragements that beset us along the way. But through it all, Lord, we're thankful that you're a heavenly Father that cares, that loves, that guides, that protects, Lord. Challenge our hearts. Lord, if there's someone in this room tonight that does not know you as their Savior, I pray that tonight would be their night. Preacher.